James chapter number 1, we'll begin in verse 13, read down through verse 16, and then we're going to look tonight at three more examples of a Bible temptation that takes place in the Word of God. The elements, double check, make sure that the elements are there. That's taught in James. And then we looked at three last Sunday night, three of them. Three negative results. We're going to look at one more negative result and then two very positive results tonight. James chapter 1, verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now if you will go to Proverbs chapter 7, Proverbs chapter 7, and we'll read this entire chapter as we again are going to the Word of God and looking at examples of a temptation involving two ingredients. We'll review that in just a minute, wrong desires, and then an enticer, the combination of those two things. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my laws the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart, saying to wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtile of heart. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She is without now in the streets and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the good man is not at home. He is gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O you children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we study this matter of temptation, Lord, and we look at three more examples tonight, that you'll help us, Lord, to identify the ingredients. And Lord, so that we can get this solidified in our mind. We understand the process. We understand what's happening. We understand, Lord, how to overcome it. And thank you, Lord, for these Bible examples. And help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We are teaching this month and climbing a mountain, the mountain of overcoming temptation. We're focusing on this matter of studying the ingredients of temptation, and then going through the Bible and looking at the examples. And I want you to understand the process of it. If you understand the process of a temptation, then you're going to be in a much better situation to know how to handle it when it comes. Now, we look back in James, and let me just do a quick review, okay? We looked back in the book of James, and we saw that there are two ingredients that have to be present in order for a temptation to occur. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And so number one, we dealt with the idea of wrong desires and just dealing with ourselves. Spent an entire message on that. The second ingredient is the enticer. So when somebody has a secret wrong desire and the devil identifies that, then he's going to send an enticer and try to lure that person and cause that person to do what he secretly wants to do in his mind or heart, what she secretly wants to do, but the enticer's voice. Now, this enticer, we looked at this word scripturally and biblically, and we put a definition on it. An enticer is a person, or in sometimes a demonic presence, that uses words to convince you that the wrong you want to do is okay for you to do. So that's who the enticer is. Number two, the enticer uses words. That is their weapon, words. Number three, they work in secret. They work in secret. So those are the three things about the enticer, and we're going to look for those ingredients as we study the temptations that we'll look at tonight. So what's the process? Some Christian has a secret wrong desire. The devil identifies it, sends an enticer. When lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth, the temptation occurs. Lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So wrong desire plus an enticer creates temptation that can then lead to sin, and ultimately then will lead to the death of something. And so that's the ingredients, and that's what we looked at. Now, last Sunday night, we looked at Eve, and we looked at Samson, and we looked at Amnon. Now I want to jump right in and pick it up. We're going to look at six total. A total of six different instances in the Bible, and we're going to look at the next three now tonight. So Proverbs chapter 7, we're going to look at the simple man who is enticed by the strange woman. Proverbs chapter 7. Preacher, let's look for these ingredients. Let's make sure that this is the Bible, what it teaches. We see it here in this story. All right, first of all, there's two ingredients that have to be present for temptation to incur. Number one, a wrong secret desire. And do we see that? Well, here's a young man in the wrong part of town during the wrong part of the day, flirting with the wrong desire as he passed through the street near her corner. Now, folks, listen to me. I know that the man who's looking out the casement says that he's a simple one and void of understanding. But I want you to look at verse number 8. Passing through the street near her corner, he went the way. What's the rest of it? Okay, so you know what? He's messing around with sin. He's flirting around with sin. Okay, this isn't the kid that's just lost in the wrong neighborhood. He had a destination he was heading to. And so we have a young man that, boy, let's just hit this again, okay? All right, listen, there's certain places that you shouldn't be. Okay, if you're there, it's because you're flirting around with something. There's certain times of the day you shouldn't be out. Did you see that where it said in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night? Listen, folks, you know what? Read this matter of light and darkness in the Bible. You know what? Once the sun goes down, get home. Gentlemen, when you get off work, go home. All right, when you get off work, go home. Okay? There's nothing to do after dark except get in trouble. Okay, not out in the world. Not out in the world. Now, if you're, you know, coming to a church function or something, there's something positive that's planned, that's well chaperoned, that has the right emphasis, I get it. But the honest truth is, we'd all be better off if we just got home of an evening. Just get home, okay? And so here he is in the wrong place. There he is at the wrong time of day. And then he ends up there encountering an enticer. So ingredient number one, wrong desire. Number two, the devil sends an enticer. The enticer in this story is the strange woman. Now, young men, beware. God's word carries a detailed description of this type of woman, the type of woman to avoid. I'm not going to teach it all. It's just a whole study in itself because we want to get to three examples. But verse number 10, you can glance at it. You know what? She dresses indecently and has a deceitful heart. Verse number 11 and 12, she's loud and stubborn and insists on running the streets. Verse number 13, she can't keep her hands to herself. Now, I want to go ahead and add this because in the enticement, when it deals with morals, I want you to tell you this. I know that the enticer, the main weapon that they use is words. But gentlemen, you better listen to what I'm going to say. You'll see it when Delilah begins to morally tempt Samson. You see it in chapter number 7 of Proverbs. You'll see it in a minute when we see Joseph's and Potiphar's wife. You know what? A woman, the wrong kind of woman that's trying to entice you, is not only going to use words, but they always want to engage in touching you some way. And listen to me. That's not just for the young men. That's for the young ladies also. Now, listen, you need to guard. You need to put some things up in your life. You need to have some standards in this area of your life, okay? Because when somebody wants to lure you aside secretly, get you by yourself, and the next thing you know, they can't keep their hands off of you, then they're not doing that just because, well, that's just their personality type and they're just overly friendly. Yeah, right. Okay. Listen, I was born at night. I just wasn't born last night. All right. And so this is part of what they do. There's a reason. There's a reason that is a good, safe standard in your courting years, your dating years, to have a no-touch rule. I'm going to say it again. Listen to me. You can say you're just old-fashioned, old fogey. I think you ought to just have that first kiss with your wife or your husband at the wedding altar. Thank you very much. Say, well, preacher, you act as if you know what, if somebody just holds hands, they're going to end up in immorality and all of this stuff. Now, you listen to me, okay? I think that there's a lot of kids that said, I was just going to hold hands. But guess what? Holding hands only excited them for so long. Now listen to what I'm going to say, okay? And then you decide what the safer course of action is, okay? If you decide that you're going to engage in some physical contact during your courting and dating and engagement, then that's up to you. Now, am I going to say 100% of the people that do that end up crossing the line into immorality? No. But I will say this, 100% of the people that just decide to have a no-touch rule will get to the marriage altar pure and clean. Okay, so do you want a foolproof plan or do you want one that carries a huge risk? All right, I mean, good kids have got together and you know what, just decided, well, you know what, no one's around and a little kiss and a little, good kids end up messing their lives up. And so the safest thing, the wisest thing is just to follow the Bible principles. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Well, if that's good for a man not to touch a woman, and you know that, it might be best if you just obeyed the Bible. And so there it is. There's another ingredient in the enticer. Now, she works in secret. So the young man has a wrong secret desire. The enticer is the strange woman. The enticer works in secret. Here they are, late at night. Here they are by themselves. Besides the man that happened to be in verse number 6 looking out the window of his house and seeing this from his house, she has no idea that anybody's observing this. She thinks they're alone, so there we are. The enticer works in secret. Number 4, the enticer uses words. Okay, with words she breaks down his defenses. All right, Proverbs 7:21. If you look at those verses again, with her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. Okay, so I'm just looking for the ingredients. There's a lot more we could teach out of this, but let's just summarize. Wrong desire, once again, plus enticement, led to a temptation, which led to a sin. You say, preacher, what did it lead to? Well, the last verse we read in verse 27, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of what? Death. One of the biggest lies that Satan is feeding the human race is that immorality no longer comes with a price tag. Yes, it does. Yes, it does, okay? And read what the book of Proverbs says about that, okay? So that's our next example. You say, preacher, good night. It was Eve, and she messed up in Samson, and he messed up in Amnon, and he messed up in this simple young man, and he messed up. We got to see something positive. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 39. If we're not careful, we just study this thing, and if we're not careful, we come to the conclusion that it's impossible to overcome temptation, that everybody's got to fold like a lawn chair every time a little pressure's put on them. Thank God for examples like Joseph in the Bible. Joseph in Genesis chapter number 39, we read the story, and we see again all of the ingredients or the elements of a temptation. Wait a minute, preacher, what's the difference here? I'll show you what the difference is. Genesis chapter 39. Preacher, what did Joseph do different that Samson didn't do? What did Joseph do different that Amnon didn't do? What did Joseph do different that Eve didn't do? What did Joseph do different that young man in Proverbs chapter 7 didn't do? Genesis 39 verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. He made him oversee over his house, and all that he had he put to his hand. Sounds like to me they had a good working relationship. Sounds like that he trusted Joseph with everything in his house. Sounds like Joseph had developed the type of character and integrity so that he could be trusted. And this man, I mean, great working relationship. Listen, this was a slave. This employer didn't have to give. This homeowner didn't have to give Joseph that type of power, but he did. He trusted him. Young men, young ladies, listen to me. There's a word called integrity. And we're going to say that several times in this story. Integrity. Integrity. Now stay with me, all right? Look, if you will, and verse number 5. And it came to pass over time that he had made him overseer in the house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. Joseph was a goodly person, well favored. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife." Wonder where he learned those type of things. I don't think he learned them in Egypt. I think he learned them when he was, as he grew up in his father's house, as he read the Old Testament and understood the thou shalt's and the thou shalt not's and what the morals of the Bible were. And you know what he said? Hey, there's a Bible principle here. You know what? That I'm not going to cross. I was taught better than this. He said, everything, the master has not withheld anything that he has except for you. But you know why? Because you're his wife. How then can I do this? Watch this. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against my master? Against God. Now, folks, watch this. There's dual integrity here. And if you'll develop this dual integrity, then you're going to be able to withstand some temptation that causes weaker people, unprincipled people, to fall for. There's some principles that you have to live by. There's some laws that you have to pass in your own heart. It's not going to do any good, young people, in the long run, if mom and dad pass them and you don't. Because sooner or later, the enticer is going to find you where mom and dad's not going to be there. Sooner or later, you're going to reach an age and you're going to face a circumstance where you're going to have to live by your own integrity. Okay, you can't live off my convictions forever. You've got to develop some things. Some I will do these things and I will not do these things. And that's, listen, a principled man has integrity. Just certain things he will not do. He's already made up his mind. Okay, sun rises in the east, sets in the west. And you know what? There's certain things I will not do. And so he had integrity. All right, now watch this. Stay with me. Joseph had the right desire. There's a temptation here, but this isn't a young man that's walking around with this secret hidden sin and desire and lust after his master's wife. And because he doesn't have that, the temptation doesn't have the same effect. Listen, he's not playing with fire. He's not hanging around the house looking for an opportunity to be alone with him. You know what he's doing? He's busy working. He's going about his master's business. He's doing the job at hand. You know, she's the pursuer, and he's not pursuing any of this. So you don't see the wrong desire. Joseph, listen, I want you to get this. Joseph was as human as any man in this room. He had the same carnal desires as any man, but there was something that he desired more than that. Joseph desired to please his God more than he desired anything else in life. He desired to fulfill the dreams that God had placed in his heart. Remember those dreams? Remember those dreams that he had as a young man? Those were more important. Him fulfilling the will of God was more important than any momentary pleasure. And so he desired, he had a dream to do something for God and to be something for God. And he loved God. And the idea of disappointing God was a bigger deal to him than any pleasure, brief pleasure that might come from a sin. And so he was just wired differently. He desired to fulfill the dreams that God had placed in his heart. Right desires in our lives help us overcome potential wrong desires. Let me say that again. Right desires in our lives help us overcome potential wrong desires. You say, preacher, you're talking about one of the first ingredients is wrong desires. Well, remember what I said when we were teaching this here a while back about the music and other things? Listen, folks, it's not enough to say, okay, I've got these wrong desires and I got to push them out of my life. And then remember the parable Jesus spoke about creating a vacuum in your life? And next thing you know, the demon that left comes back with his buddies and you're worse off than you were. Listen, you can't just try to spend your life saying, I'm not going to have wrong desires, I'm not going to have wrong desires, I'm not going to have wrong desires, and I'm constantly trying to push them out. Listen, at some point, you've got to want something that's good more than you want something that's bad. Okay, you got to fill your life with good desires, right desires. You know what Joseph was focused on? Being a success. You know what he was focused on? Making his master glad every single day of his life that he put him in charge. You know, he didn't walk around bitter. You know what? He said, you know what? My daddy taught me how to work, and you know what? I got good common sense, and I was raised to know how to organize, and I know how to work with people. And you know what? I'm gonna put my energies into being successful. And you know what? Why would I throw all that away for this ding-dong woman? Okay? And that's what he was saying. And that's his mindset. Now watch this, folks. Joseph's right desire. Okay? Then here comes the enticer. Now that just because you have the right desires don't mean the devil's still not going to test you. Okay? Potiphar's wife is the enticer. And now watch this. Let's continue to read. There's none greater in this house than I, verse 9. Let's jump to verse 10. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. By the way, you know what you're going to find out when temptation comes? It doesn't just come visit you one time. Oh, I did the right thing. I said no. Well, you better get ready to say no again tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Because you know what? The devil's relentless. Well, I won that battle with the devil. That don't mean he's not planning another attack. And so she was relentless. Came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her to be with her. Now I'm gonna tell you, we're gonna teach next Wednesday night, Lord willing, 10 catchphrases of the enticer, and then we're gonna give you the 3 proper responses to an enticer, and that'll wrap up the study. There are 3 proper responses to an enticer, and we're gonna pull some of that. So you think ahead on that. I won't give it all away, but Joseph's pretty wise here. He didn't just say that I'm going to tell her no. He said, I'm going to avoid her. Okay, I'm going to avoid her. Now watch this, if you will. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house, verse 11, to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garments. You go ahead and give her some help. That's fine. God bless. Let's stop and pray for Sister Nancy. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you bless Sister Nancy and help her right now, Lord. Help those that are dealing with her, Lord. We're thankful for her. What a blessing she's been all these years at our church. And I pray, Lord, that you just help her even now, we pray. And we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's all focus right in your Bibles. That's the best place to be looking right now, okay? And watch this, verse 11. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. He didn't go in there looking for her. He's not passing by the corner of the house, you know, the street to see if the woman's hanging out. He's just doing his job, all right? And there, by the way, man, you can be doing what you're supposed to be doing. That don't mean the devil's not going to come after you. You young ladies can be doing what you're supposed to be doing. That don't mean the devil's not going to send a tempter. Now, notice what he did here. And it says, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by the garment and said, lie with me. And he left the garment in his hand and fled and got him out. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He made the right decision there. You know what? He was trying to avoid her, did the best he could to avoid her. But when she laid hands on him and she was insistent, you know what he did? He went right out of his jacket and got out of that house and got away from that situation. I'm going to show you when we talk about the 3 things that your 3 proper responses. I think Joseph did 2 of them correctly. I think one of the reasons he ended up in trouble is he didn't do the 3rd one correctly. I'm just going to throw that in your mind. You say, well, what do you mean in trouble? Well, he ended up in prison over this because of a false accusation. How many days has she been doing this? Did she do this? This is her first time? Is she doing a pattern on this? Listen, watch this, folks. She said, well, I say no, and I have tried to avoid him. That's what the Bible says, my son of sinners consent thee, entice thee, consent thou not. So I tell him no, and then I do the best I can avoid him. Yeah, but you didn't do the 3rd one. And the third one is this: you expose them. You expose them. You expose them. I'm going to help you. If you'll come back a week from tonight, I will help you so much. You see, saying no to an enticer and trying to avoid an enticer, you're not done. Okay, you haven't dealt with it all the way. Okay, well, I got out of it. Okay, well, what about, they're still operating. Okay, why is the, well, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to put this in your mind. Why is it that there is such pressure put on young people never to, when I was in the 1970s, it was called ratting people out. Okay. I think in the 80s that you were a narc. Now, why is there always derogatory terms? I mean, you know how many people in the public school I saw literally get beat up because they told about something that should have been told? You see, folks, watch this. If you say, well, I said no, and I avoid them now, but you're still letting them operate. You're not done. I'm giving you the third thing right here. You know what? You haven't finished the job, and I'll take you back to Deuteronomy, and I'll show you this is in the law of God, that you are not supposed to just say no to them. You're not just supposed to get away from them. You are supposed to go to an authority figure, and you are supposed to report them to it. I already give you the three now, but I want you to think about that. I think the first time it happened, you know what he should have done? He should have went to Potiphar. And I think he could have used great wisdom. I hope I may be totally misreading this situation, but I want to tell you that something's happening. It's making me uncomfortable. You've trusted me with everything. I want you to know how I'm supposed to handle this. Because see, later on when she tried to lie to Potiphar about what Joseph did, he had already come to her several times saying, "She's still doing it, sir. I love you. I love my God. I just am asking you, sir, what do you want me to do about this?" I don't think Potiphar would have had the same reaction. Now, maybe, because when it comes to a man's wife, sometimes guys get dumb. You know, they can't see it. Don't want to see it. I'm not saying it, but I'm just saying, I think there was a third thing that Joseph should have done here. So you keep that in mind, okay? Joseph's right desire. Potiphar's wife is the enticer. Enticer works in secret. Did she come when there were men in the house? Did she come in front of her husband? Okay, did she use words? Yes, she did. It came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. A righteous, stronger desire overcomes a satanic, carnal desire. Listen, there's got to be some things in your life that you want more than you want to sin. Okay, there's just, to me, folks, there's just too many big things in life. There's too many eternal things at stake for me to throw away everything that God could use me in my life for. For what? For what? You better stop and think, sir. For what? Ma'am, you better stop and think. For what? And the rest of your life? For what? Really? Everything God could have used you for? Everything that could have been accomplished? For what? You better let this sink in, okay? Bible examples of temptation victors. You know what? Joseph had integrity. He had some principles. Watch it, I'm going to use the word. I mean, my goodness sakes, isn't this a terrible word? He had some standards that he lived by. Every day, not just on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whether he's with people, whether he's by himself, there are certain things I will do and there are certain things I will not do. There are principles of my life, and you know what? My integrity is at stake every day of my life, and I'm going to live by my integrity, which means I don't care what the circumstances is, well, who I'm with, whether I'm with this, the bad crowd, good situation, bad situation. You know what? There are certain things I do not say. There are certain places I do not go. There are certain actions I do not do. That's just, you know, sun rises in the east, sets in the west. Just, you know, it's the way it is. And I live by them. You see, watch this. One of the greatest, this is what we're going to learn from Joseph. One of the greatest protections as far as when it comes to temptation, is learning to live by principle. Doesn't matter how you feel. Okay? There's days I don't feel like doing right. It don't matter how I feel. I don't live by feelings. I live by principle. Okay? I'm sorry. Listen, we've got a generation just living by feelings. Just living by circumstances. There's no absolutes in their lives. Watch this. They have no convictions about almost anything. There's nothing that they wouldn't sell out given the right set of circumstances. Sir, listen, you're going to amount to nothing. Ma'am, you're going to amount to nothing. Young lady, young man, you're going to amount to nothing in life. Because if you don't have principles, then you know what? There's no way to be successful in life without principles. You're just an easy target. You're going to do something stupid. You're going to ruin your reputation. You're going to give away future opportunities. Why? For what? For what? What, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, one night of pleasure? And the rest of your life, you live with the reproach of that? Oh, but preacher, we're not going to get caught. We'll get to that when we get to the 10 catchphrases, okay? When it comes to this idea of morality, and I will say this and we'll move on, any man who is stupid enough to think that you're going to commit immorality and it's never going to come out, do not understand how women are made. Any woman that thinks you're going to commit an act of immorality and it's going to stay secret, do not understand how men are made. Besides that, I think the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. I don't think you understand the character of God. Okay, so this whole idea of that devil ever comes to you and says you can do this and you'll get by with it is an absolute, utter lie. You may get by with it for a while, but sooner or later, it's coming out. It's coming out, all right? The best of all examples, Matthew chapter number 4. The example of our Lord Jesus Christ. You talk about a temptation victor. You talk about the supreme example of how to deal with the devil in temptation. We find it in Matthew chapter 4. And again, we're going to go and do an in-depth study of the whole story. We'll look for the elements. We'll see if they're there. And then we'll see how Jesus has taught us that we can be successful in the face and victorious in the face of temptation. Matthew 4:1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward had hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. By the way, that is a verse in the Bible. Can you imagine the devil's quoting the word of God? We got a Bible quoting devil going on right now. And you know what? The people that come to you and claim they have knowledge of the Bible and they know what it says, and they don't really mean that. They don't really say that. That sounds like they learned that from somebody. Can you imagine the devil is quoting the Bible to Jesus, trying to convince him from the Bible that it's okay? Unbelievable. So Jesus quotes him some Bible back. Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil take them up to an exceeding high mountain. We're talking about climbing mountains. This is where we get this, okay? The mountain of temptation. And he takes him up to an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Well, the devil didn't understand as Jesus already had all those things. Folks, he had dominion over heaven, earth. What? What are you offering? And then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And the devil leaveth him. Well, he left him. Why? Because he told him, get thee hence. You say, well, that's Jesus. Well, my Bible says, resist the devil and he shall. You know why a lot of times the temptation continues? Because the honest truth is, we won't tell the devil to hit the road. We act like we're just struggling with this temptation, but the honest truth is, we're kind of enjoying it. We're not really sure we want him to go away. Because if the Bible's true, and it is, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will. All right, then why don't we resist? You know what we act like, well, the only thing Jesus taught us here was quote the Bible. Well, that's not the only thing, but that's a very important thing. I'm not diminishing that. He pulled out the sword of the Spirit. He used it on the devil, but he also taught us something here. He told him to hit the road. He rebuked the devil. Something about rebuking the devil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, claiming the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you preacher, sometimes I get into this demonic oppression, and I mean, the temptation's so strong and so sore. And I mean, literally, you know what? Listen, Jesus just taught you something. I was talking about, you know, the day I thought I was going crazy. I'm throwing a pair of pliers across the room screaming at the devil. I'm going to tell you something, folks. And the last time me and him have had a shouting match. And you know what? You say, you think you're stronger than the devil? No, but I think the blood of Jesus is. I think the name of Jesus is. I think the Bible told me if I resist him, he has to flee from me. And so this is what we do. We learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ, by the way, had a greater desire than anything the devil could offer him. Remember what we learned from Joseph? Joseph desired something more than he desired just a fleeting whatever pleasure there is in sin for a season. And Jesus had a higher goal. He came to earth. He was going to get to Calvary. He set his face like a flint towards Jerusalem. And I mean, he came for this main purpose. And you know what? The devil and all he had to offer was not going to keep Jesus from accomplishing what he was sent to earth to accomplish. He wasn't going to sacrifice the will of God for anything the devil has to offer. So you got to want something more than you want sin. Okay? So Christ's temptations was allowed by the Spirit. Notice he was led by the Spirit. Remember what we said? God does not tempt any man with evil, but God does sometimes allow us to be tempted by the devil. Christ's temptation went on for many days. We've talked about how she came day by day. Again, the devil doesn't give up. 40 days he was tempted. You say he was only tempted 3 times. Well, Mark 1:13 says this, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days tempted of Satan. I think 3 different temptations are revealed to us, but I don't think that's all he faced. 40 days nonstop attacked by the devil. And, you know, that's why when the Bible says this, we have an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our temptations, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. You say, wait a minute, preacher. There's some things that didn't even exist back then. What do you mean all points tempted like we are? 40 days, God said, I'm going to let you throw everything you got at him. 40 days. I believe the Bible. I think the devil threw stuff at Jesus that didn't even exist at that point. I think he said, "What is that? What it says? It says this, but was in all points tempted like we are." I think he faced every single major temptation that any man could possibly face for 40 days. And he walked out of that wilderness, the sinless Son of God, the sinless sacrifice. Now, if he can overcome it, we can overcome it with his help and through his name, okay? And so Christ's temptation was something he had to face alone. True to the pattern of an enticer, Satan went after Christ when he was alone. Christ was assisted, watch this, during his temptation. How was he helped? Through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. Through the Spirit of God. I mean, wasn't it right after he was baptized? And what descended from heaven upon him like a dove? And you know what? Watch this, folks. You got the Word of God and you got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. You've got what you need to beat the devil. You got what you need to beat the devil. He was assisted with divine help. He had the Word of God. He had the Spirit of God. Same thing he gives us. Christ was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Christ's successful encounter with temptation allows him, let me just say this, to feel compassion for us. He does understand what you're going through. He has faced what you're facing. Well, no person could overcome what I'm facing. He did. Yeah, but he was Jesus. I understand he was Jesus. I also understand that he had taken on the form of humanity. And I know that he operated in the power of the Spirit. And I know he had the Word of God. Well, I can operate in the power of the Spirit and I have the Word of God. Okay, let me say this. He didn't cheat. He didn't say, well, I'm going to overcome Satan as with the power that I have as the second person of the Trinity. He said, I'm going to overcome Satan using the fullness of the Spirit, which I'm going to give to you, and by quoting the Bible, which I'm going to give to you. So he basically was saying, listen, I'm not going to show you how to do it if you were the Son of God. I'm going to show you how to do it as any human can do it. That's encouraging to me. That's exciting to me. Amen. He was tempted as we are, yet without sin. And that allows him to show compassion. And I do want to stop here and just tell you, listen, I'm not trying to diminish the intensity of the attacks of the devil. I know sometimes, folks, it just seems like good night. But you know what? Jesus in heaven looks down and says, I face that also. And you know what? If I can win, you can win. And so Christ has given us the strength to successfully face our own temptation. So just as sin brings death, remember how we had to conclude the first four examples? We had to say, okay, here's a wrong desire, and here is an enticer, and therefore a temptation is created, which led to a sin, which led to death. And you know, four different times we had to watch death, 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 death. But wait a minute, what about these last two? Think about this. Just as sin brings death, righteousness brings life. Okay, what's the end of Joseph's story? Joseph faced and overcame his temptation, and because of that, watch this, millions were saved from starvation. Now, get this. Boy, I want you to get this. You know what? Joseph had no idea that one of these days down the road, he could be Pharaoh's right-hand man and in charge of saving, not only responsible to save millions and millions of people from starvation, but saving his own family from starvation. He did not know at that moment in Potiphar's house that God was going to do that. And young man, you don't know what some great thing God has in your future that you're going to throw away over stupidity. Young lady, you know, have no idea what some great thing God wants you to do in the future that could be sacrificed just because, well, I couldn't help it. Yes, you can. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is able. He'll make a way of escape for you. Now, what I'm saying is this. Watch this. I want all these thoughts to come into play. You know what? All right, if I give in to this sin, all right, I'm going to have a short amount of pleasure of sin for a season. But what is it going to cost me down the road that would be 100 times more fulfilling and better in my life? And by the way, not just what is it going to cost me, what is it going to cost other people? Who am I not going to be there to win to Christ? Whose eternity is at stake? I'm a Christian. I can go to John 1:9. But what person have I sacrificed the power of God and the opportunity to win to Christ? And you know what Joseph said? He just said, hey, you know what, devil, all right, you got your stuff. Get it. I know I'm a man. I get it. All that stuff. But you don't understand. There's something so much more important to me than just a few moments of sin. The opportunities, the promises of God. God gave me a dream, some dreams as a young man. And I'm not going to throw those dreams away over some little silly little sin. I'm not going to ruin myself for that. Boy, I want that getting the hearts of young men and young ladies all over this room, because you're going to sooner or later. You know, I met Jesus at the crossroad where the two ways meet. Satan too was standing there. Okay? And you're going to get to those crossroad situations. And he's going to say, lots and lots of pleasures I can give to you today. And you know what? You better speak up real loud and clear and say, but I said no. There's Jesus here. See what he offers me? Down here, my sins forgiven. Up there, a home in heaven. Folks, I don't know. I don't know what great thing awaits you in your future. But don't throw it away for a few minutes of sin. Don't throw it away for that. Don't ruin your reputation. Okay? Don't get that wound, that mark. Don't do that. Don't let it. Don't throw away what God has for you. You know what? Say no. Get away from them as quick as you can. Go to an authority figure. We'll show you that from the Bible. Go to an authority figure. Husbands, somebody tempting you? Okay, watch this. You stop at a certain gas station. There's a cashier that's just a little too flirtatious. Somebody works in the same office you or somewhere, and you know what? They always want to pull you off the side and have a little secret conversation. By the way, they usually want to tell you how tough their marriage is and how their husband don't really understand them, blah, 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 blah. And the devil has never invented anything new. Does the same thing, stupid things over and over again, and they keep working because we just won't learn the Bible. Okay, young lady, wife, who have you met on the internet? Okay, I said last week, last Sunday night, I said to our teenagers, There's some of you that need to say, Mom, Dad, I got this device and you don't know about it. And I've been getting these texts and you don't know about it. And you know what? I'm in trouble and I can't handle this and I got to get some help. Man, wouldn't you be wise to do that? But it's just not teenagers. You know what? If any gal flirts with me, I think it happened back in 1964 once, but if any gal flirts with me, as I'm telling you, you know what I do? I go home and tell my wife about it. You know, the lady at, you know, I'm going to be careful because the lady at such and such business, and she's just too friendly, honey. I'll be honest with you, I'm not very comfortable. I think I'm going to go somewhere else. She knows about it. If I ever got a text from some lady that I thought was inappropriate, you know what I'd do? I'd say, Cheryl, you need to read this. Am I overreacting? Listen, transparency. Transparency. Anybody that insists on a secret anything is an enticer. Wives, you ought to be 100% transparent with your husband. Husbands, you ought to be 100% transparent with your wives. Young people, you ought to be 100% transparent with your parents. Okay? 100% transparent with your parents. Every single, you know what? Well, it probably means nothing. It might not. Here, read it anyway. You just keep all everything in plain view. All right, just, you know, that's the way we do. And you know what? If you'll do that, you're going to be safe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, Lord. We've been here about an hour and 2 minutes. Well invested time for what we've learned. And I pray, dear God, as we dismiss in just a few minutes, Lord, go to our prayer time. Before we do that, I pray, Lord, that you would work with our hearts concerning what we've heard during this invitation. Lord, help us to be wise. Help us to be wise, Lord. Help us to be wise. Help us to learn not only how to respond and react to an enticer, but what our responsibilities are then in that situation. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd rescue some of our young people that have been so convinced of the devil that the only way they can be cool, the only way they can be whatever, is to have this little secret life, secret communication, secret group of friends. And God, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help them to fix whatever the devil has done in their heart towards their mom and towards their dad. Help them understand there's no two people in the world that love them more than their parents, that know them more, that want better for them more. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd keep a sweet relationship between the young people and their parents, dear God. And Lord, that they would understand the protection and the blessing that comes from that relationship. Now use this and help us, we pray in Jesus' name.